إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه بعد. My brothers and sisters, when we study the seerah and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu told us and ordered us to study the seerah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. He said the best example for you is the example of my Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah also mentioned for whom that is, لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. For those who look forward to the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look forward to the day of judgment, and those who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a great deal. So this ayat is dalil that the studying of the seerah is recommended by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, and therefore one can say it is fard, because what is recommended by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fard. But more than the fard part of it, the issue to understand is that the study of the seerah is for our own benefit. So even if it was not fard, it would be something I would say that make it fard on yourself, because we are the ones to benefit from the studying of the seerah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as an example for all of mankind till the day of judgment. So until the day of judgment, anyone has any issues, look in the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and you will find the answer inshallah. Now if you look at the seerah and if you ask this question and say that what was the one single cardinal change, the game changer, the one single switch that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam turned, the one single change that he made, which converted the Sahaba, his companions, the Muslims of the time, from a situation where they were the weakest, both financially as well as politically. They had no influence. They were surrounded by enemies. They were despised. They were looked down upon. They were few in number. They had no strength of any kind. From being in this state, in a period of simply one generation, Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu is the same generation as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In one generation, these same people, literally the same people, it's not even people like them, the same people, the same names, the same people got converted into being the most admired, the most influential, the strongest, the role models, the rulers of their known world in the same one generation. And if you ask this question and say, what is it that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did? What change did he make? Now if you study to see the change, you have to see the effect of that change and say, where was this change? And if you look at, if you do a sort of social history of the time, you will find that as far as economics is concerned, as far as means of earning livelihood is concerned, nothing changed. People who were farmers remained farmers, people who were shepherds remained shepherds, people who were traders remained traders. There was no change. So what was the change? Obviously there was some change, otherwise the history is proof that there was change. But what was the change? And my understanding is that the change was in the way of thinking. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam changed something in the mind. He changed the priority of the Sahaba. He changed their way of thinking. From a focus and concern and high priority, number one priority of the dunya, to shifting this to a high priority, a number one focus to the akhirah. Now, when we say this, sometimes we get a mistaken opinion that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught them to ignore the dunya, leave the dunya. But that's not true. The example I always give is, since we are all familiar with the computers, the example I give is of the mouse. Touchpad, mouse, whatever you use. The movement you make there Where is it registered? On the screen, right? On the screen, in the hard disk. Now, if somebody says, throw away the mouse is not important. I want the thing, the change I want is in the screen. The change I want is in the hard disk. Why do I need this mouse? Throw it away. What will happen? You can't do anything. You cannot do anything. If you throw away the mouse, if you deactivate the touchpad, then effectively your ability to affect that screen is gone. So the mouse is extremely important. It's very, very important. But if somebody is playing with the mouse and he's saying, you know, let me see what kind of design does it draw on the mouse pad, you know, with the touch the touchpad, what kind of design can I make on the touchpad, then he's talking nonsense. The touchpad has nothing to do with the touchpad. But the touchpad is critically important, because unless you work on the touchpad, unless you work with the mouse, the changes won't happen on the screen. The changes won't happen in the hard disk. Now, this was the change that Rasulullah ﷺ made with the Sahaba. Not to say throw away the dunya, leave the dunya, but to say understand what the dunya is. The dunya is not a end in itself. The dunya is a means to achieve an end. The dunya is a means to achieve a goal. It's not an end in itself. And the example of this is also in the Quran, where in Surah Taha, also elsewhere, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the conversation between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Musa alayhi salam. In Surah Taha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, ask Musa alayhi salam, wama tilka biyaminika ya Musa, what is in your right hand, ya Musa? So Musa alayhi salam said, he said, this is my asa, this is my stick. And then Musa alayhi salam described the fazail of the asa. And this is what I do with the stick, and the stick is helpful for me, and I beat down the leaves of trees for my goats, and I take a rest on the stick. So basically, Musa alayhi salam is saying that this stick is very important. It's not just a stick, it is a means of help for me, and it's beneficial for me, and so on and so on. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, okay, so throw it on the ground. Now Musa alayhi salam throws it on the ground, the stick turns into a snake. It's a big snake, it's a fast snake, it's a poisonous snake. So Musa alayhi salam is now afraid of this thing. So he wants to run. Musa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, don't run, come back. Pick up that stick. By the head. Musa alayhi salam said, that thing will bite. Allah says, no, it won't bite. You pick it up. It will turn to its original form. So Musa alayhi salam picks up the stick. And the stick becomes okay. Now what is the lesson? The lesson is benefit and harm. La nafi wa la darra illa Allah. Benefit and harm is not in the stick. It is in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's control. Right? Then what does Musa alayhi salam do? This is the whole issue of studying the Quran. Did Musa alayhi salam then said, this stick is useless, throw it away, I don't need it anymore? Or did he take the stick with him? Think about this. You learn the lesson, no? The stick by itself has no use, only by the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this stick will do good or bad. You learn the lesson. So then did he say, I don't need the stick, throw it. Did he say that? No. Where is Tarkul Asbab, tell me? The stick is still a stick. If I want to beat down the leaves of the trees, I'm not going to make two rakat of salah and ask Allah drop the leaves. No, I will use the stick. But I will not use the stick thinking that the stick is helping me. What will I do if this stick disappears tomorrow? No. If the stick disappears or doesn't disappear, makes no difference. As long as my Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu has given me a means by which to earn a living, by which to do something for my akhirah, I will use this means. But I will not think that the means is benefiting me. The means is not benefiting me. If my Rabb wants to remove this means, he will give me something else. Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyah rahmatullah, such beautiful things people have said. Wallahi, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill their khubur with noor and give them Jannatul Firdaus al-A'la bi ghayri hisab. Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyah rahmatullah says, when my Rabb closes one door of his abd because of his hikmah. He says, when my Rabb closes one door of rizq for his abd, for his slave, because of his hikmah, because of his wisdom, he opens two doors because of his rahmah. because of his mercy. Our Sheikh used to say, Muzaffar will remember. He used to say to my father, my father has a very nice relationship with him, so he used to keep joking with him. He used to say, Doctor Saab, Dastar Khan pe baithe, daawate aam hai, aap bhi aake baith gaye. आप बैठ गए बाद में मेज़बान आके आपको हाथ पकड़ के दस्तरखान से उठा लिया तो आप क्या समझते मैं भूखा मर जाऊंगा समझते या मेरे को ले जाके ख़ास खाना अलग मेरे वास्ते जो बना वो खिला रहा समझते फॉर दोज हु डोंट अंडरस्टैंड उर्दू दिस गोज़ ऑल ओवर द वर्ल्ड लेट मी ट्रांसलेट सीरियसली थिंक अबाउट दिस ही सेज ही यूज्ड टू से व्हेन यू सिट इन अ जनरल दावत यू नो दावत आम फॉर open house, anybody is coming. And if you also go and sit down there, you've been invited, you also go and sit down. Then you find the host whose house this is. He comes and holds you by your hand and takes you away from this place. He makes you get up and he takes you away from this particular general feeding place. So he says, what do you think? Will you say that my host is depriving me of food, I'm going to go hungry? Or will you say, Alhamdulillah, now my host is going to take me inside to a special place where special food has been prepared for me? Which one? So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala closes one door, we say, oh, I will die, I will starve. Allah closed one door because He wants to open some other door for you. This is the mindset change that Rasulullah brought in the Sahaba. And that is the reason why, if you see the things that the Sahaba did, a man comes, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is raising funds for Tabuk. We always tell the story of Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu, how he came and what he brought and so on and so on. We forget to mention Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself. Do you think when Rasulullah was sitting there telling people to contribute for Tabuk and Abu Bakr Siddiq was bringing something and Umar ibn al-Khattab was bringing something and Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu was bringing something? Do you think Rasulullah was sitting there and his house was filled with gold? Do you think he had bags of gold in his house which he did not donate? It is my iman and yaqeen that the house of the Nabi was more empty than the house of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu found one needle in the house of the Nabi, you would not even find that needle. He gave everything which he had. Why? And then what happens? All of this is happening, people are bringing stuff and so on and so on. Then one sahabi comes. He comes with one handful of dates. One handful of dates. And he gives it to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, what is this? He said, Ya Rasulullah, this is all I have. I work today, this is what I got for my job today. I have nothing else, this is all I have, I have brought this for you. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam takes it, throws it on top of the pile and says, Allah accepted all of this because of this. Now think about this, what is it that enables a man who has only one handful of dates to give it in the path of Allah? Why? Because he understands this mouse and screen relationship. He understands this mouse and screen relationship. He knows that this thing I do here, the results are very big. That's why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, on the day of judgment, there will be people who will come before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who have spent the equal of a seed, a date seed. One date seed. In the dunya, they spent the equivalent of one date seed in this dunya in the path of Allah. And on the day of judgment, they will find that date seed is like the mountain of Uhud made of gold. It's a question of relative importance. This was the mindset change where Rasulullah ﷺ taught the Sahaba that this dunya is a tool, use it to build your akhirah. The beauty of this deen is that if you do it that way, your dunya gets built automatically. Tell me, if you give charity, what will happen? You will become highly popular, people will love you, people will respect you, and so on and so forth. and your wealth in this dunya itself increases. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kisi ka ayrak tehsan, both ghayur Allah ta'ala, Allah ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't take anything from anybody. You give and before you know it, it comes back. And it comes back multifold. You give one, you get 10. Rabia Basri, rahmatullahi alayha, she is in the house, somebody comes, knocks on the door. She goes there, there's a man, he's come with a packet, she says, what is this? He says, this is roti, you know, fresh bread. She says, how many loaves? He says, 9. She says, take it back, it's not mine. He says, take it away, it's not mine. And the man is shocked. He says, how can I take it back? My master gave it to me to come and give it to you. He says, no, it's not mine. You came to the wrong house. So the man said, I apologize to you. He folded his hands. I said, I apologize to you. I'm very sorry. My master actually gave me 10. But on the way, I ate one. I felt hungry, so I ate one. I thought, you know, what do you know? After all, he's sending it. He said, I know. He said, how do you know? He said, because I gave one in charity. My Rabb promised me 10. How can I take 9? He said, I know. Has to be 10. How can it be? I will not take 9. I gave one in charity. I have to get 10. My Rabb promised 1:10. She's not talking akhirah here, dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ghuyur. Allah does not take anybody's ihsan. In any case, it is not ihsan because what you are giving also is from Allah. Where did it come from in any case? But despite that, this is the relationship, this is the priority, this is the switch change which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain, as a result of which in the same generation, I'm not talking akhir, I'm not talking the Sahaba will get Jannah, of course they will get Jannah. I'm saying in this dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed their dunya from being the weakest to being the strongest in the same generation. Period of 23 years, the life of Nabi Sallam. Plus, if you go to the Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu's time, you are talking maximum another 22 years. 2 years of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu and 20 years of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu when he passed away. And this happened long before that. So it's not even 23 plus 22, it is much less than that. Period of 30, 35 years, that's it. Complete change from one extreme to the other extreme. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to enable us to understand these things because they are staring us in the face, and to enable us to leverage them and to use them and to benefit from them. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahim.